Back in episode 207, I talked to you about your top five. Who are the five people that you are following that are making an impact on yourself and making you strive to be a better person, to grow, to level up, to become all that you can be? And of course, many of you ask over and over and over again, what podcasts am I listening to? Who am I following? And the problem is, I follow so many people and I listen to so many podcasts. And if I were to make a list of my favorite podcasters, it would be so long because I wouldn't want to leave anyone out. So I reflected on this question because since I've been talking about who's in your top five, you really want to know who's in my top five. And while I don't have a specific top five right now, what I have decided to do in the next four episodes is to give you four podcast interviews of four people who have really impacted my life. And we're going to start with Andrea Decker. She spells her last name D-E-K-K-E-R. I've been following Andrea Decker for more than 6 years. I would say maybe 7 years. She is one of the very first blogs I ever read, and I have literally read every single blog post she has ever put out, usually at 8 a.m. when they go on the blog. I've read all of her blog posts. Back in, I think it was 2012, I paid for a coaching call with her. I was a fairly new blogger, and she'd been blogging longer than I had, so I paid for a coaching call with her when Nora was a baby. So whenever Nora was a baby, that's when I had that call. I'm a frequent commenter on her blog, not every week, but you know, probably once a month I comment on her blog posts. She has written about Organize 365 on her blog, and she is now a podcast guest. I am super excited to introduce you to my friend, Andrea Decker, and I highly, highly, highly recommend that you go read her blog, especially if you are in your 20s and 30s and have young children. She is going to have those suggestions that are going to hit home for you that I don't cover here on Organize 365. Her podcast is called, or not podcast, her website is AndreaDecker.com. That's D-E-K-K-E-R. And now my interview with Andrea. Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Andrea, thank you so much for joining me on the Organize 365 podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So there you go. Hunter is already barking in the background, and we may hear Andrea's sweet fourth baby in the background. So we are just going to go with it. We are moms and we're going to record this, and you are listening to this on the go. And I cannot wait to introduce you to my friend, Andrea. So many times on the podcast or in my emails, I'll make mention that there is only one blog that I read every single day, and it is Andrea's blog. It's AndreaDecker.com. And that's Decker, D-E-K-K-E-R.com. And you could find that in the show notes and the email that I send out. So, Andrea, I found you so long ago. I don't know when you very first started blogging, but I did scroll all the way back when I first found you. I have literally read every single blog post, except some of the cooking ones. I'm not good at cooking, so I don't always read the cooking ones. But I found you when you had simpleorganizedliving.com. Wasn't that what it was called?
Yes.
And then Farmhouse Love.
Oh yeah. That was my beloved farmhouse blog that I kind of merged into AndreaDecker.com because I didn't want to have two separate ones.
Is way before you had any of these four babies that you have now.
Yeah.
It was probably about 6 months into blogging, and I had a completely different blog then too. It was called warriormama.com. I started it in 2009. I was going to be like this online like guru about how you help your kids that have food allergies and all this stuff. And I just found that that was too stressful for me to have that blog to both be fighting for my kids' needs and then sharing it online at the same time. So in 2012, I started Organize 365. But I would love if you could share in your words, like how you started blogging, and you were an in-home professional organizer at that time. Like, how did you start all of this?
That is a good question. I don't have a super awesome answer. I basically fell into a lot of it. I graduated from college, got married, had my first job all within like 4 weeks of each other. And I really did not like my first job. The people were great, but what I did was just horrible and I hated it. And my dad said, just figure out what you love doing and figure out a way to get paid for doing it. And you'll be successful even if you don't make a lot of money because you'll enjoy what you do and you'll be good at it and you'll get fulfillment from it. And I was like, well, I mean, I just want to be the next Martha Stewart because the only thing I like doing is cleaning and organizing and cooking and canning and gardening. Like, that's what I like to do. So I need to figure out a way to get paid for doing something that all normal people do, even if they don't like it. That's never going to happen. And so I just was joking with someone from my job, and they said, well, I'll pay you to come organize my house. And I just thought, no way, no one's really gonna actually pay me to organize. That's what I love doing. And sure enough, they paid me and they were so happy. They told other people. And so I joke, the job that I really disliked ended up being the springboard to propel me into starting my own organizing business, which is essentially my dream job and something I never, ever would have thought I could get paid to do. And from there, it just kind of word of mouth advertising, and I started speaking for local events. And then those ladies would say, well, we'd like you to come to our house and organize. And then our friend and our mom and our sister and neighbor all wanted me to come. And then people were asking, well, is there somewhere else we can go for more information? Because this was back in 2006, and I didn't even have the internet in my own house then because I was so cheap. So there was no way I had a website. I didn't even know what a blog was. I wasn't on Facebook. I did nothing. And so I started looking into options and eventually started a little blog. Had no idea what I was doing. I would update it like once a month. And finally, in like the beginning of 2010, I decided I love doing this. I'm making a decent amount of money doing this. It's time to like jump in. And so I got a web hosting company. They designed my first website and blog, and I committed to basically every single weekday I'm posting something. And it just kind of, again, morphed from there. And then people wanted to hire me as a virtual assistant. So I started doing virtual assistant work. And eventually I got to the point right around the time when Nora was born, my first child, that I had enough work to do online and almost didn't have enough time to do the in-home organizing. And it just kind of happened to be that all happened around the time my first daughter was born. And I decided, hey, I'm just going to stay home, do the stuff from my computer, not do in-home organizing anymore. So that's what I do now, just work from my computer.
So I mean, I probably found you early in 2010, maybe the summer of 2010, after you had started the Simple Organized Living blog that
Yes.
is now andreadecker.com. And the thing that I noticed, because I read a lot of blogs at that time, I loved reading blogs. It was like my online friends, and I would go and I would find them and I would read them. And you were one of the only bloggers that I followed that was so consistent. I mean, like day in, day out, like every morning, 8 o'clock, my posts go up at 8 o'clock because your post went up at 8 o'clock. So 8 o'clock must be the time, like just random time. But it was like every single day. And when I started my second blog in 2012, because my first one in 2009, I was very inconsistent. I was like, okay, if I'm going to start organized 365, I am going to post every day because Andrea posts every day. And it's the consistency of your blog that I loved. It was like every morning I could read it, like you would read the newspaper, like, what's Andrea talking about today? And you were doing it 7 days a week then. Like, you were crazy.
I was.
I don't know
But
how
I
you
didn't
did
have
that.
kids then. I didn't have kids.
Yeah, I
It was
know,
my
but
blog
still.
baby.
Yes, but okay, you have 4 kids now, and you take like, you didn't even take time off when Clara was born. Like, you schedule your posts in advance, you're very organized, you just keep going.
Yeah, I really thrive off routine. I know some people aren't that way, but for me, I feel more calm and more like under control, and everything runs smoother if I just do the same thing all the time. And not to say that I don't change, because we'll talk about that later, but just consistency, if at all possible, really works well for me.
And okay, so this is something I wanted to bring up. So I talk about how there are four phases of life that a woman goes through: childhood, accumulation, survival, and downsizing. And one of the things I want to do in these podcasts I'm sharing here in February is sharing people that I follow that are in different phases of life. And one of the reasons why I love sending people to your blog is because you're younger than me. Like, you are not driving kids all over the place. I have teenagers. I'm in my 40s. You are much younger. You have little kids. You work from home. I remember when I worked from home for my young kids, like, I could have that routine that you were talking about because I was able to block out all of the outside expectations on me and set our schedule. And I love how you do that with your kids and organize
house. 100% in control when your kids
are
like, you're their sole person that's telling them what to do. You don't have school schedules. You don't have outside schedules. It's just you. You're the boss.
Yeah. And it's exhausting. Like, it's exhausting and it's routine and like your brain feels like mush. And like, I'm not saying that that's not happening at the same time. And one kid gets sick and all of a sudden for like 2 weeks, all you're dealing with is illness. Like, that is totally in that phase of life as well. But you are home, so you could do things at home, mm-hmm. and you do have more control over your time. And I love how consistent you are and just very matter of fact, simple. Like, I'm a functional organizer. I would say you are a functional organizer. Nothing that I do is ever going to be on Pinterest. You're more Pinteresty than me, but I'm not a Pinterest person. I'm not going out and buying special organizers. I don't see you doing that either. Like, you just tend to tackle a small project and do it. And it just functions and it works well. And I think a lot of organization is more function than it is the way it looks. And that's why I love your blog. It's very doable. Everything that you do is very replicatable. I could do it in my house the next day if I wanted to.
Yeah, I remember when I first started blogging and I thought, this is ridiculous. I have absolutely no interesting or creative or cool things to share. I just have the normal stuff that I do in my own house with shoeboxes and Ziploc bags and like grocery bags. Like, there's nothing cool about this. And so I've started sharing the normal everyday things that I did in my own house every day. And everyone responded like you did. You're the only one I read that is normal ideas that I could do. And it doesn't look cute. It's not magazine worthy, but it functions and it's usually very frugal and very quick and it works. So I guess that's how I try to like live my whole life, is something that functions well, something that's fairly frugal, something that works, and it's not going to be like a lot of putzing and wasted time to get the results. It's just how I roll.
Well, I think we because we have Pinterest and because we have Instagram and because we have all of these places where we can, you know, scroll and look and ooh and ah, that we start to think that, well, if what I'm going to do in my house is not Pinterest or Instagram worthy, then why even bother? And what I'm doing and what you're doing is like, hey, it's life. Like, this is our house. You need to do a lot. It's a lot of maintenance. It's a lot of routines. Just take the next step. And people are waiting for the perfect solution instead of just acting. And what I see you doing is just acting, just getting it done with excellence, but not waiting for the perfection. So can you share a couple of things that you do as a mom of four kids under six? Are they under six? Yeah. Like, okay. So just share a couple of tips. What helps you, like, what has helped you through the transitions and whatever you want to share?
Yeah, I could share a lot. I think one of the things is just, and it sounds overwhelming when you say it, but just constantly evaluating what's working and what's not working. And I say constantly, but it's not that my brain is literally every second of every day thinking, should I find a better system? Is this working? Is this not working? No, it's just when I go to put some of the new toys away that they just got for Christmas, and I see, oh, there are too many toys. It doesn't fit in here. I take 3 minutes and just quickly say, hey, would we be able to get rid of this, this, and this? And my kids are kind of used to my crazy purging by now. So they're usually a quick yes or no answer. And if they say no, we find something else, because they know if it doesn't fit in the toy area, then we're just going to get rid of it. Or some, like, just little things like that. When we're doing snow stuff, we just have all our snow stuff out now, and we have spots for it, but I quickly realized that the youngest, well, the 2-year-old, he couldn't reach his stuff. So then I'm reaching it for him all the time. So I quickly move things around and it took 2 or 3 minutes and now he can reach his stuff. I still have to help him sometime, but all the kids can reach their own snow stuff. They can reach their mittens, their boots, their caps, their snow pants, their gloves. They can do it themselves. That's a huge thing for me, is just trying to make my house usable for the kids so I'm not having to do every single thing for them. The craft supplies, we have some like painting things that are definitely tucked away until I'm willing to help, but general markers, crayons, colored pencils, GAC, all those things they can access on their own. They know right where they are. They can easily reach them and get them out. If they want to do it, they can do it, and I don't need to do it for them. We have step stools by every sink with automatic soap pumps that all they have to do is put their hand underneath and the soap squirts on their hands so they can all wash their hands themselves. Just trying to do things like that that give me a little bit more freedom because I don't need to do it times four every single time.
So it just I was a preschool teacher. It just reminds me like a preschool room. So if a preschool teacher gets new things for the classroom, she doesn't keep shoving them in the school. She has to take out old stuff to put that in. Like if you look at a preschool classroom and you have young kids, your house should look the same way. Like you're going to have toys there, but it's not like you just keep accumulating more. You have to purge a step stool by every sink. That's what you would do in preschool. Like anything you would go observe a preschool if you're really stressed out. But what I love about your blog is if you are in this accumulation phase of life, I'm sorry, I just don't even have it on my blog. When I started my blog, my kids were in grade school. I didn't have the pictures. I did a lot of this stuff when my kids were little, but I don't have that on my blog. I would love for you to go check out AndreaDecker.com and just start reading. You will just feel so great. So I remember now that you're saying this, one thing I did was when Joey was little and Abby was born, I stored all the socks upstairs because it was in the bedroom and that's where you store socks. But we always put socks and shoes on in the family room. Yeah. And I remember when I moved the socks downstairs to the family room, it was like the heavens opened and angels started singing because I didn't have to go searching for socks anymore. It's just use your house, put things where you use them, not where, you know, it was designed to be in a 1950s builder when they originally designed these houses. Like make your house function for yourself. Now we have to talk about these toys, Andrea, because that is the bane of everybody's existence. And you are much better at purging. I was a purger, but I'm not frugal. I am very much a consumer and I am very, I love to accumulate. Like I liked accumulating that phase of life. There was stuff everywhere. Oh, if I had pictures, luckily I do not.
Interesting for me to realize about you.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm totally a consumer. I'm such a consumer. It's bad. So toys, I have watched you as you've added more kids and moved their bedrooms and renovated the house and everything, you keep moving where the toys are. And I remember when you got that old entertainment center and you turned it into the kids' kitchen area. Oh, that's so great. I'm going to link that up in the show notes. It's so cute. In my 20s, I did all kinds of projects like that, household projects. You know, you just create things for the kids. You don't, by the way, Andrea, that time is coming to an end in the future, just so you know. But I love how you keep moving around where all the toys are. And I think a lot of times when we go to organize the toy room, we have one room where we think all the toys are going to be, and we want to continue to put the same toys in the same area. And what you do is what I did, which is you move where the toys are. You move how you use different spaces as the toys change, as the number of kids change, as their age changes. What would you like to share about that?
Yeah, we have moved our toys a lot. We used to just keep them all on the main floor because everyone was on the main floor. But then once a couple of the kids moved to bedrooms upstairs, then obviously we moved a lot of the toys up there. And now almost all the toys are in various spots upstairs. And we just have a few, like we have the books and games and crafts on the main floor because when we only have one TV and that's on the main floor. And we usually read books on the couch, which is in the main floor. And we usually do crafts in the kitchen, which is on the main floor. So those things are all on the main floor. And then we have a few baby things on the main floor too. And all the rest of the toys are just upstairs and it works really well for now. But what I always, always, always say and what I am super committed to doing is it works until it doesn't work. And then it doesn't work and then you find a different way to change it. But for me, I really like spreading them out a little bit because they take up less space. It's less overwhelming to play with them and it's way less overwhelming to clean them up again. If you just have one huge room where everything is dumped, it's so easy to just say, oh, just go put that in the toy room and we'll worry about it later. Mm-hmm. And don't ever worry about it later. Whereas if you have a toy cabinet in each kid's bedroom, while I don't really like my kids' bedrooms to be a total disaster when they go to sleep at night, so before we go to bed, Nora picks up her bedroom as best as she can. Simon and James pick up theirs. They don't always do it willingly, but they do it and we help them. And, you know, each of them has their little spots that they can pick up. And that's much less overwhelming than just a big room that's just trashed with toys. And it's a lot easier to monitor your consumption or your accumulation because you think, okay, this area is getting quite full. Let's purge some of the things from here. Or maybe we just need to come up with a better storage solution that will house our things enough. But if it's just a big room, it's easy just to dump and say, oh, there's not really space, but this huge room is almost empty. So we'll just keep putting stuff and keep putting stuff.
Yeah. And it's funny because I naturally moved my kids' toys upstairs also. And then I find when your youngest child goes to kindergarten, your kids go to all day kindergarten, right?
Yeah, she goes 3 days a week.
Okay. So when your youngest goes to all-day kindergarten, that's kind of when you stop having toys on the main floor because pretty much they play outside and they just don't do as much at home anymore. Yeah. And so then I call it their mini apartments, like their bedrooms are their mini apartments. Like my kids even have refrigerators in there. I've told you, I'm a consumer, like major consumer. Cool. But when you teach them that their bedroom is their mini apartment, starting like around middle school age, then they are responsible for apartment type living, like maintaining that, cleaning that, changing the bed. Like they can even pick how it's decorated in my house. And we decorate our rooms like every 2 years. Like I totally redo the painting and everything every 2 years. But now my kids know like that is their space and it's preparing them for as they get older. So watching the toys migrate up to your bedroom, like I remember when they first went in there, I was like, ooh, I didn't know if you were going to add toys into the kids' bedroom. I wasn't sure if you were going to do that or not.
They're huge though. So
I know it's awesome.
Huge. They have tons of playing space in that. And I'd much rather have, we have a lot of people who question like, how could you have toys in your kids' room? How would they ever go to sleep? Our kids have just always had it. And it's just not even an issue. I guarantee, like it has never been an issue for us ever that the kids have wanted to stay up and play with their toys because they're just used to having it. And we have so many people that say if we had even any toys in our kids' room, they would just get out of bed and play. But it's just never been an issue for us. So I know it doesn't work for everyone, but that's just what we're doing right now. And in a couple more years, we might change it. Like,
yeah, same with us. It was never an issue for us. I love how you are open to just changing it. Like when you get organized, it does not have to be perfect. It does not have to be forever. It's just organized for now. And especially like watching your blog, I know this is true. When your kids are six and under, you are literally reevaluating and reorganizing every 3 to 4 months. Like it's just, they're in new size clothes. They're in new foods. They're in new schools. They're in new whatever. That doesn't happen as much once your youngest is in all day school, but you are in that continual, constant, purging and reorganizing and all of that, which leads me to the last thing I want to talk to you about, which is this Craigslist thing. So I just tell people, load it in the car, take it to Goodwill. I love Goodwill. Just drop it all off and move on. But people do want to get money back from the things that they sell. And you are so good at buying and selling on Craigslist. I will link up to a bunch of your posts that you have about this. You've done some really good ones. But what advice would you give people who want to either buy or sell specifically through Craigslist? That happens to be the one I think you use the most.
Yeah, I really do like Craigslist. My first piece of advice would be really be honest with yourself. Is it really worth your time?
Yes.
Are you really actually going to take the time to take pictures of it, to post it online, to respond to emails, and to sell the item? If not, donate it.
Exactly.
Because there's nothing more like weight on your shoulders than, oh, I have to get these items. I have to put them on Craigslist and I have to sell them and I have to get the money for them. If you just donate it, it's done. They're out of your house. You don't have to think about it again. You can take the tax write off if you want and you're done. So I'm like a huge advocate for just donating, especially if you feel like you have too much going on or if the thought of trying to sell things is overwhelming to you. I just always tell people, you're not using it, think of how excited some other person is going to be to find that great deal and on the just the thing that they wanted, and just let yourself donate it and be okay with it. But if you are going to sell it, then I do have quite a few posts on my blog that share yes. very detailed information about like how I do it, how I write my posts. A couple things that I feel are super important is to take multiple high quality pictures. This means do not take a picture of your item in a dark shadow that you literally can't even see the item. It means take the item out, get it in front of a window, take a couple pictures of it, list the measurements of anything that you're selling or specific sizes. I personally don't sell clothing that much because that just seems like too much monkey business for me. But furniture, list the sizes and the dimensions. Appliances, list the specifics. Clothing, list the size. The more details you can provide in the post, the fewer emails you will get asking you, what are the dimensions of this? What is the size of this? Anything that you can list in the post. And I just copy and paste. Usually I'll wait until I have 10 to 15 items to post, take pictures of them all. Within 5 to 10 minutes, I can take pictures of them all. Upload the pictures, they go automatically to my computer. I write a description. I say, we are selling blank from a smoke-free, pet-free home. Here are the dimensions. Here's like a little bit more information. Cash only, no holds. This is how much we're asking. And I just copy and paste that and fill in the blanks for every single item. And then I post it. And it usually takes a half hour for me to post 10 to 15 items. And I post very reasonable prices, so they're sold often within 24 hours.
Okay, explain reasonable prices.
That is so hard for me to say because it does depend on where you live. For me, we live in a relatively low cost of living area in West Michigan. And I buy almost all of my stuff used, like literally almost every toy, every article of clothing, every piece of furniture in my house is used. And Craigslist is huge where I live. So it is, and there's tons of thrift stores. So I buy it used. If I sell it, even posting a reasonable price, I often make money because there are many times where I'll fix something that's broken or repaint something or just clean it really well. And even after we use it, I can still sell it for more. But basically, whatever you think is a good price, do it a little bit lower than that, or search your area Craigslist for the same item and do it a little bit lower than what everyone else is asking.
So is a good rule of thumb, like 20% of the retail cost or 25% or it's not even that.
It probably depends because some things like furniture, if it's wooden furniture, that can actually appreciate in value.
Really?
If you're doing like antique-y things, like that kind of stuff can sell for so much money. I think that's probably reasonable, like 20 or 25%, unless you're like me and you're buying it for $5 from a thrift store, and then you could probably sell it again for $5.
I mean of retail, not of what you pay for it.
But just, I would say the best tip for pricing things is just to search your area Craigslist and see what people are selling the same items for, mm-hmm. and then just do it a little bit less, even a couple dollars less, and you'll pull up faster than what they will. And people who are shopping Craigslist are usually frugal. And so if something's a couple dollars less, they'll gravitate towards that.
Yeah, I just can't even. So when I search something on Craigslist, I'm like, oh, it's worth $20. Never mind. Goodwill. Off I go. Like so my best Craigslist thing, my daughter got guinea pigs. They're like, I don't know. They smell horrible. They smell horrible. So she was going to take care of them. She didn't. It was like 3 weeks in after Christmas. Literally, we spent like hundreds of dollars on all of this guinea pig stuff and the guinea pigs, like you died, Andrea. Anyway, I'm a consumer. So we had everything. Like we had everything that you could possibly buy that would go with guinea pigs. We owned it. So Abby said she would get rid of the guinea pigs and they were selling. Like I could have sold it for $50 or $75 or $100. I put it on Craigslist for free and those things were gone in 2 hours, baby. They were gone. I was meeting somebody. They were like, are you sure we can't pay you? I'm like, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I paid my daughter $100 to get rid of the guinea pigs because I just wanted them gone as fast as possible before she changed her mind because it was like a health hazard at this point because they lived in her room. They were like eating our house. I was just, get them. I am not a good seller. This is why you guys don't get good selling things from me. Now, when I was in the accumulation phase of life, I would have a garage sale in the spring and in the fall, and I would buy things at garage sales, and I would literally resell them for what I bought them for.
And yeah, so I would make a couple hundred dollars.
Sales, because that to me seems like so much work. I'm just like, I'm not going to save stuff in my house for a whole year so that I can.
But this was 2000, 2001, 2002. I mean, I'm old. So this is how we did it.
Okay, this pair of pants doesn't fit Nora anymore. Okay, driving to the thrift store right now, like one pair of pants.
Yes. Well, I never sold clothes. I don't even know how. No. Lots on eBay. I did sell clothing by lots on eBay if they were Gymboree.
Okay.
Like the Gymboree sets. That was really big in the early 2000s. I don't know if it still is.
I never buy sets of clothing either. I just buy everything from our thrift stores for like 25 and 50 cents. And then I always joke because I really don't care. I do not care what my kids wear to play outside because all of our clothing are cheap. I do not spend any time sorting laundry. I don't iron. I don't spot treat. I don't do any of that because all of our clothes are like 50 cents. And I will say that when my kids need to look cute, they look cute. And
they always look cute. I mean, you put pictures of them every day on your blog. They look adorable.
Yeah. And I don't care anything about clothes or laundry. I save so much time because I just buy cheap clothes and I don't care what happens to it. And so much stress, and I never have to say, change your clothes. Don't get those dirty. Oh, you're painting. You're going outside in the mud. You have to change your clothes. I just don't care.
Yeah, no, I don't either. So people are going to have to go to the blog post to hear how you sold your house on Craigslist.
I did sell. We did sell.
You didn't buy it on Craigslist, did you?
I found the listing for our farmhouse on Craigslist, but then I had to contact the realtor. But the realtor had listed our house on Craigslist, and then I sold our house in 3 days on Craigslist for more than what we were asking in a recession, no less.
I know, you guys, she's amazing. You're gonna have to go to the blog to see that one. It's just like, I'm like, no way, like I won't even sell. I'm like, everything goes to Goodwill. I'd be like, house to Goodwill. I would hire a realtor. I would hire it out. Okay, Andrea, anything else you want to share with the Organized 365 community?
Well, I have tons that I could share. Do you want me to quick go get my babe who's crying in her crib right now? Or
yeah, go get your baby and come back.
Okay, I'll be right back in 1 second.
I'll just keep talking because you guys know how I do. So Andrea is so, so much fun, and her house is gorgeous. So she sold her house on Craigslist and they bought this farmhouse, which is her dream, and they have literally like redone this entire house. It is gorgeous. You guys have to go check it out. And she just had Clara. How old is she?
She was 3 months old on Christmas Day.
Oh my goodness. She is so sweet. Yay. I get to see her. You guys don't get to see her, but oh, sweet baby.
Just waking up.
Oh my goodness.
Get outside in the snow.
Everybody is outside?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your kids are outside all the time. I'm so cold. What?
We have a huge yard, so, and a huge driveway.
I know, but I never wanted to be cold, and you're always outside with your kids.
Dave is outside with them right now. No, I think you said, is there anything else I want to share? I think for me, being my age with 4 young kids, the best advice that I could give to other people who are in that type of situation is just, and I laugh because I would have just given such different advice if this was 6 years ago. But try to go with the flow as much as possible and set routines when you can, but you can't freak out if the routine goes off one time. Mm-hmm. And this really is funny. If my mom was listening to this, she would be dying of laughter right now because I'm so structured. And when the routines go, I get all stressed out, but I'm learning. And routines are very good. We have, you know, everything from bedtime routines, and it doesn't have to be at 7:02 we start the bath. You know, it's just in general, this is kind of how our evenings run, and the kids know it and we know it. And my kids slept over at my parents' last weekend and they wanted to show them something on TV after dinner. And Nora said, we don't watch TV after dinner. It's not even really a rule. It's just, we really don't. Like after dinner, we clean up and we play for a little bit and then we start the baths and go to bed. And it's like just kind of a comfort in knowing those routines. And like when the kids come inside, they know, they take off their shoes and put them here. They take off their coat and put them there. Then they go to the bathroom that's right by the mudroom and wash their hands. And that's how they come inside. I don't even need to tell them. And so I think just those routines lighten my load. It's less decisions I have to make. It's fewer orders I have to give. it's less arguments because we do it the same all the time. And I think kids benefit from that and mm-hmm. parents of young children benefit from that because my brain just feels like decision overload sometimes when they're all asking me, can we do this and can we do that? And if they know, then they don't have to ask.
Yeah. And I think picture a preschool, people. There is a reason why when you come into preschool and everything's like every 15 minutes, like we would come in and you hang up your coat and then you sit on circle time and then we do this and then we read the story and then we have snack and then 15 minutes at this center and then 15 minutes at that one. I mean, that is preschool life. And the more you can make your house like a preschool and then move to a kindergarten and then move to a first grade classroom, that is how those kids do best. And while we want to resist that sometimes to be like, oh, but this is where we get to relax and have freedom, kids don't do that great with freedom. I'm just telling you, like freedom of playing outside for an hour, doing whatever you want while you're outside. Yes. Freedom of the whole day to do whatever you want. Then kids start to be destructive and get grumpy and irritable. Yeah. And so the more you can have routine, it really does go better for you.
And even what I will say to that is, I mean, I'm a morning person, but ever since having kids, especially kids who don't sleep, it is hard for me to get up in the morning. And I'm definitely not going to tell people you have to get up before your kids because there are so many days that I do not get up before my kids. But I do always, always, no matter how late the baby goes to bed, no matter how tired I am, I will literally say always, because I can't remember the last time I have not done it, do a few things before I go to bed to help me prepare for the next day. And that is making my to-do list, making sure I have a plan for all the meals the following day, and making sure I have anything ready to go if we are going to be getting out of the house. Like the diaper bag is ready, the car is ready, always. If I do not do that, the next day starts off so crappy, I can't even explain. And I mean, sometimes there have been times when it's 1 o'clock in the morning and the baby is finally going to sleep. And I'm making my to-do list and I'm whipping up a little bit of pancake batter for the next day so that when the kids wake up, we can say, okay, here's the food, stop being crabby, here's your breakfast, eat right now. And then our day is going to get started, because when the day does not start well, when I am not organized and ready to go, it just kind of spirals and the whole day just seems to go badly for me.
Yeah, I cannot believe how consistent you are about that. I mean, I've read the blog. I've read every single post.
I know that you really are.
You're really like this. And I mean, there are days when like I don't want to do it and I'm like, well, Andrea is doing it and she has four kids under six, so maybe you can make your little checklist, Lisa.
But I think you can afford to not do it more. When your kids are a little bit older, you can afford to not do it. When they're young and they all need you for everything, like I feel like I'm just going to shout at everyone if I don't have things a little bit under control when I wake up in the morning and when they wake up. It's just, I've done it there was one time like a few weeks ago that I didn't have breakfast stuff ready to go. And it was like the whole day felt like everything just kept spiraling because they were crabby and I didn't get them breakfast ahead of time. And so it's just little things like that, that I have control over. Like I can choose, I'm not saying people should choose to stay up late every night, but I can choose to stay up 15 extra minutes and get stuff ready for the next day. And I know that it will pay off so well the following day if I do something like that. And I have full control over that. It's not like I'm, you know, need a kid to do something, or if my kids are in a bad mood, so I can't help that, but I have control over that.
Yeah, I will tell you, it gets worse as you get older, so you don't want to change that. Because here's what happens. You're literally driving the kid to school, and now you realize you don't have this and you don't have that. Now it's an hour out of your day to go back and get what they need and take it to school, or they live without it, and then the school is mad at you because you didn't send it in, and then you look like a bad mom, and then what do I cancel off of my work agenda because I have to do that? So no, it does not get better. It does not get better if you don't get in that habit of writing down your list of things to do the next day. Yeah. That is the number one thing you guys can do in 2018 to make it go better for you. All right. Clara wants to eat. Well, she wants me to go. Andrea, this has been so much fun to talk to you. Again, it's AndreaDecker.com, DeKker. Oh, and I get to see the baby. This is the best part of my job. Oh, she's so sweet. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
In 6.5 years, Organize 365 has grown from a little idea in my brain to an actual corporation. Over that time, we've had blog posts and podcasts and free courses and paid courses and courses that go with each other. All of that has been streamlined, organized, and put onto a new website, organize365.com. All of the past free and paid courses have been organized into the All Access program. All Access is a combination of the 100-day home organization program and all of the paper organization offerings that I have. There are three components to All Access: the 100-day home organization program, the complete paper organization program, and then All Access courses and bonuses. Let me explain each one. The 100-day home organization program has launched 7 times, and we've had over 1,000 people get their homes organized using the 100-day home organization program. It has been streamlined into 3 components, the first of which is an online membership site that works from your phone and can track your progress. It's amazing. And this summer, I re-recorded every single video in the program, and we added about 20 new days. With that program, when you first purchase, you will get a planner. The planner is only designed to take you through one 100-day cycle. It's 120 days of planning, and the program is actually printed in the planner. So the day you're supposed to be doing the program is printed in the planner. Additionally, in the planner, we have added new printables for every single week. They are not available online. They are only in the planner. So for the planning your kitchen week, there's a 2-page spread in the planner about how to plan your kitchen. There's a 2-page spread about how you track your spices. When you go through your closet, there's a 2-page spread about how to decide which clothes are best in this season. And as you keep your planners, you will do your clothing all 3 seasons and you'll be able to see your clothing through the planner. So there's a planner. Every other season, you can buy a planner for $47 for one planner or $127 for 3 planners, and they're shipped out every 100 days. Then the last piece of the 100-day home organization program is the private Facebook group, where you can encourage your friends, share pictures, get input from each other, say you're having a bad day, say you're having a great day, and everyone will support and encourage you. And then once a week, Lisa comes on for 30 minutes and answers your pre-submitted questions in a Facebook Live. That is the 100-day home organization program. You could buy it independently or you could buy it as part of All Access. And as of today, you can buy it whenever you find the program. So there is nothing more frustrating than on November 2nd, realizing you want to get organized and you have to wait until January to order a program. So you may be asking, well, if a planner is included and I join in November, what planner will I get? We have undated planners. So after the 100-day program starts on Labor Day, starting September 11th, we will send out an undated planner until December. And then in December, we will start sending out the dated planner for January again. And all of this is on the website. The second part is the complete paper program. This was also called the Sunday Basket Club. You'll hear me calling it the Sunday Basket Club. The complete paper program is everything you need to get your paper organized, and this is what Organize 365 has been developing over the last 18 months. Over the last 18 months, we have gone from the concept of a Sunday basket to a physical Sunday basket with workshops, with certified organizers, and physical binders that help you eliminate your filing cabinet. So in the complete paper program, you get the complete Sunday basket, the physical Sunday basket, and the workshops that go with it. All 4 of the household binders shipped to your door, and the Sunday Basket Club. The Sunday Basket Club is our private Facebook group for people who are going through and organizing their paper. And people who are going through and organizing their paper actually get 2 live events almost every week. So every single Sunday, for 90 minutes, there is a Facebook Live led by a professional organizer. So it's like virtual class where you could do your Sunday basket every single week with a professional organizer. That way, if you have a question or you're stuck or you'd like input on your Sunday basket, you can ask those questions and they will give you real-time answers. Also, 2 times a month, I go into that Facebook group and I do a Facebook Live and I answer pre-submitted paper organizing questions. If you were in the 100-day program before, there used to be a little bit of paper organizing in there. We had a whole paper organizing week. That has been moved out. And that is now part of the paper organizing class. So you may ask, what's the difference? The 100-day home organization program focuses on the physical spaces in your home. The complete paper organization course focuses on getting all of your paper organized from your Sunday basket all the way to your filing cabinet. Each of these programs are purchased individually for $497, and you get everything that's in that program for $497. If you buy both programs as All Access, or you already have one of these programs and you buy the other one, you will be upgraded to All Access. Well, what is All Access? All Access is some of the previously free courses that I had are now only in the dashboard under All Access, the most popular of which are the email organizing course and the From Hot Mess Room to Organized Storage course. I know, some of you are going, darn it, I wanted to do that course for free, or that course used to be free and I can't believe I didn't take advantage of it when it was free. From Hot Mess Room to Organized Storage totally works. It will take any hot mess room, and it is step-by-step 28 days of how to go from I don't even know where to start to a beautifully organized storage room. And what I found over time when I think about Molly and what she needs is she needed the From Hot Mess Room to Organized Storage after she had already gotten her mindset around her paper and her home. And that this is an addition to the home and paper organizing program. It's not really a standalone program. You will pull in and you will do this one within your getting organized year. Also, the email organization course has been rewritten and re-recorded as well. And this will really help you organize all that digital papery type stuff. There are a couple other free bonuses in All Access. We have all of the color printables that I used to sell on Etsy. Those are over in All Access now. I do not have an Etsy store anymore. Also, the 10 Steps to Organized Move ebook is in there. And in the Hot Mess Room course, we had a great ebook that tells you where to donate, sell, and recycle everything. That email also is in All Access. So how does this work? Because Lisa, you used to say, I could do the 100-day program and it was 15 minutes a day. And I did. And the reason I said that was because that's what you told me. You wanted an organization program that you could do, you know, in a short amount of time for a short amount of minutes. And I'm just not good at marketing. I'm not good at like, if you do this 30 days and 5 minutes a day, you'll be a millionaire. Like I'm a realist. I am practical. I am functional. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you really want to live an organized life, like you see me living on Instagram and being able to have a really bad day, but not take my whole world down because I have organization underneath me, it takes a year. It took me a year. The whole year I turned 40, I went through my house 3 different times that year and I finally got it organized. And I went from drowning to finally treading water and swimming in 1 year. You need to go through the 100-day program 3 times. That's why I've always had it as lifetime access. And when you do that, you need a Sunday basket, and you naturally start organizing your papers. And when you don't buy all of the binders, what happens is you start to try to figure out how to organize your papers into binders or files or whatever. You spend more time figuring out alternative ways to organize than to just use the system that works. So I know that there are going to be A, people who cannot afford the program, and B, that people that don't want to do All Access and don't want to buy all in, and that's totally fine with me. I'm 100% okay with that. But I also know with the 1,000 people that have gone through it, that it works. It 100% works. So if you're ready to invest your time and your money into Organize 365, I know that if you give me 1 hour a day and 1 full year, we can give you an organized house and organized paper. I just know that it's true. And when I was at the national convention, I threw this out to everyone and I said, you know, the programs are not inexpensive. I mean, it's basically $500 for each program, or it's $997 for All Access. That's a lot of money. If you divide that out over a year, it's $3 a day. I'm not even going to get into coffee. We can't take away coffee, so forget that. It's $3 a day. But I asked the audience, and I said, if you spend an hour a day and $3 a day, do you feel at the end of having done this for 1 year that you got back more than an hour a day, and $3 a day, and unequivocally, they all said yes. So if you may say, I'm going to invest $1,000, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get that $1,000 back, either in selling things in your house, or you're going to get it back by being able to do more of the work that you're normally paid for, or saving money by not rebuying things that you already have, or whatever. You're going to get that money back. And the hour a day, the national statistic is for Americans that we spend 55 minutes a day looking for things. So if you think that investing an hour a day in organizing your house, you don't have, you're already spending the time you don't have looking for things, forgetting things, running things back up to the kids' school because you forgot to send it because you didn't plan because. It's not that we don't have the time. Of course we don't have, nobody has extra time. But what are the things in your life that you could give up to invest an hour so that you could get back an hour next year? And this is the game changer, you guys. When you really go all in and do all access and you really decide, I'm done, I'm getting organized, I'm going to live an organized life, do you know what you get? Time. And they keep saying we can't buy time. But I'm going to tell you, if you get organized, you're basically buying time. I don't want to brag or anything, but there are a lot of days where I'm like, I wonder what I could do. And my poor team, what happens is I come up with a new program, like this kids program that I'm developing or whatever, because I have so much time because I don't spend any time organizing my house anymore. I just don't because it's organized. And don't worry, it'll get unorganized again when I change phases of life. But right now it's organized. And the benefit I get from an organized house is time. So if you're thinking you don't have enough time, I want you to think about a year from now, if you don't do the all access course, will you have more time? Because I will tell you, if you do it, you will. And everybody says you can't buy time. Okay, go to organize365.com. Now, hopefully you understand 100-day program, still the same, basically. Complete paper program is all the stuff you've heard me coming out with over the last 18 months, but we finally organized it, condensed it, and put it into a program. And then all access is both of those plus the additional free bonuses. Enjoy!